turning to a number of passages tonight, so stick with me. I want to bring a message tonight entitled The Value of the Word of God. Like I said, we have a seed line project coming up this weekend in which we will be assembling copies of John and Romans to go out to the mission field. It's a process of assembling copies of portions of the Word of God, but I would pose a question tonight to all of us. How much value does the Word of God have in our lives? Get my phone out of my pocket. Value has the idea of importance, priority, estimation, worth, monetary or otherwise, or weight. In ancient times, in the marketplace, value would be determined by a set of scales, set of balances. You would have the weight of whatever it is you're purchasing here, perhaps, and on this side, an equal weight to determine how much it is. And value would be determined by that. And some people would come along, unscrupulous merchants would add more weight to one side or the other to throw it off, and there would be an unequal balance. But value is important. It is the importance, priority, estimation, or worth of a person, place, or thing. We sang right before we began here, "Set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word." 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, talks about the early childhood of the prophet Samuel. He is a little boy ministering in the temple with the wayward priest Eli and his two wayward sons. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Samuel, as a boy, lived in a time where the word of God was precious because it was not very available. God was not revealing himself to his people on a regular basis as he did back in the time of Moses. And the word of God, it says, was precious. Folks, we, I believe, in this country have a disadvantage as far as our appreciation of the word of God is concerned. We have it so readily available that we lose our appreciation for it. It seems, bear in mind, the value of the inspired word of God by itself has not diminished a bit. But the ready availability of it to us in our situation here has diminished our appreciation of it. I'm going to come back to this later in the message, but just hang on to that thought. Turn it now, if you would, over to Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. Job, in the midst of his struggles and grief and turmoil that he's going through, he makes a tremendous statement here about his perspective of the Word of God, one that really should be our perspective as well, although sad to say it is oftentimes not. Job 23 and verse 12, actually the second half of verse 12, but I will go back to the whole verse. He says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Job, in his longing to have access to God, in his time of difficulty, he declares that in his heart and mind, a word from God, the word of God itself, was worth more to him than his daily necessary food. When you and I got up this morning, What's the first thing we want? Oh, I want to wake up first of all. But after you officially wake up, what is, you think, okay, hunger, food, breakfast. Let's find something to eat. If breakfast is a long time coming, you get a tide me over. Necessary food, first thing, instinct, self-preservation, get food. Job says, God, to me. Now, Job was esteemed to be a very righteous, godly man. Otherwise, Satan wouldn't have come after him. God points Job out to Satan, saying, there is none like him in all the earth that feareth God and escheweth evil. And Job says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. When was the last time we felt that way about the Word of God? Folks, I confess, I don't know. The last time that was for me, it's been a while. Or has it ever been that way? Has it ever been a time to you where the Word of God was that precious to you? Where it's more important to you than your necessary food? But there's more. Let's go to Job 32. A few pages over, Job 32, verse 8. He says, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration, interesting word there, the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we see all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Follow my steps. Here's where we're going. We are going somewhere with this. Psalm 138, verse 2. What is God's perspective on His Word? We see Job's, the proper perspective of Job is, I have esteemed your Word to be more important than my necessary food. He says, but there is a spirit of man, and the inspiration of God gives understanding. All Scripture is given by inspiration. But what does the author of Scripture say about his Word? What value does he himself put on it? Psalm 138, verse 2. Listen to what David writes here about God's perspective on his Word. David writes, I will worship, this is Psalm 138, verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, speaking of his Word. For thou hast magnified thy Word above all thy name. God has magnified his Word above all his name. As sacred and as blessed and as revered as the name of God is, God in his estimation has magnified his Word above all his name. Why is that? Because through his Word we learn of him. God is so desirous that we understand him and know him. He is a loving, personal God who intends for us to have a relationship with him. And therefore, as far as our relationship with him is concerned, he has magnified his Word above all his name, because it's through his Word that we get to know him. That is the purpose of it. Now over to Psalm 119. We're going to take a trip through this psalm here. Psalm 119, if you're familiar with it, is an acrostic of Scripture. It is, in the original Hebrew, every section began with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Paragraphs that were in the originals are now broken up into sections of verses in the English translation that we have here. But I want to just skip through here and look at several verses from here. We have seen Job esteems his Word to be more important than his necessary food. All Scripture is given by inspiration. God has magnified his Word above his own name. But Psalm 119, verse 9, let's start with verse 9. What is the value of the Word of God? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Question mark. How do you cleanse your life? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. It does not say by listening to somebody get up and preach and talk, but it says by taking heed. The value of the word of God we see here, it is the means by which we can cleanse our ways. Folks, the world in which we live is going to try every which way. They will maneuver all around God's word to say, how do we fix our problems? How do we fix the errors? How do we fix the strife and turmoil and all the problems? This is how we cleanse our way, through His word. Move down to verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Verse 11, it is the key to victory over sin in our lives. Folks, it is not your will, it is not your determination, it is not my will and my determination that will give victory over sin. It is the Word of God becoming a part of our lives, hiding it in our hearts that we may not sin against God. No amount of self-help will apply to overcoming victory. If it's, you name any of the major sins in the world around us today, people go to counseling, therapy, and so forth, but you gotta have the Word of God if there's to be any lasting change. It is the key to victory over sin. Down to verse 28. We're gonna go through this fast. David, going through a very difficult time here, he says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Lord, I'm like a candle, withering away, melting in the flame. Heaviness has overcome me. And he says, strengthen thou me according unto thy word. It is our strength in times of heaviness. I think we can all testify to times in our life when we're going through a very dark valley. Nothing written by man will help. No inspirational writing, quote-unquote inspirational writing from man. No sweet poetry, nothing else. But you get into the Word of God and it becomes a source of strength in time of heaviness. Verse 42, speaking of God's Word still, he writes, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy Word. A lot of Christians these days, they are timid to engage in a conversation with an unbeliever because they're not sure, what if they ask me a question that I don't know how to answer? What if as I'm witnessing to this person, what if I don't know what to say? Folks, the answer lies right here. If someone's coming to you saying, oh, do you really believe that? You really believe this Bible that you claim to know? You've got to know that word yourself. I think one of the biggest reasons for timidness in witnessing is a lack of a good knowledge of the Word of God. Because if you know the Word, you're like the psalmist here. I have wherewith to answer someone. I've heard preachers say this before. If someone asks you a question and you're like, I'm not sure what to say, get into the Word, have an answer. I've told my Sunday school class this before. If somebody comes to you asking you, why do you believe what you believe? Don't you dare come back and say, well, my pastor says, or my Sunday school teacher says, or my church says. You say, the Bible says. That has got to be your answer, because your pastor, your Sunday school teacher, your church, whatever else earthly thing that you can refer to, is not going to have the stability that the Word of God will have when it comes to answering those who reproach you. Moving on to verse 45. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. The world is looking for liberty, quote unquote, left and right. The Bible tells us where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Folks, we are seeing liberty washing away quickly in our land. And it's not because of politics, it's because of a lack of the Word of God, okay? I'll say that again. We are seeing liberty washed away in our land because the Word of God has been taken away. People are ignoring it. But the psalmist says, I will walk at liberty. I will walk in a state of freedom here. For I seek thy precepts. If earthly government becomes oppressive, you can be the freest person in the world if you're adhering to the Word of God. It's liberty in His Word and through His Word. I will walk at liberty. Verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath quickened me. Once again, in times of affliction, God's word is our comfort. It brings life where there seems to be death in the situation. God's word breathes life into your situation, your heartache, and it brings life and it revives you. I could give numerous examples of this, but there's a lot more we're going to look at here as we move along. It is our comfort in our affliction. His word has quickened me. Verse 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me, get this, than thousands of gold and silver. The world says, get all you can all you get. But what if it's all taken away? What if everything that we have enjoyed in this country is eventually taken away? One way or the other, we can still be the richest people in the world if we adhere to the Word of God. Thy law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. It is the source of true riches. It is the truest form of riches because nobody can take it away from you. Verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Trends, fashions, so many things on this earth, they come and go. The Bible says the world passeth away. In other words, the world is continually in an ongoing process of passing away. But the word of God is forever settled in heaven. Things they were saying about the world and situations 2 years ago, they were different last year. They've changed it again this year. Mankind is always changing his perspective, his latest analysis, his latest figures, his latest this and that. The Word of God never changes, folks. It is the same. The Word of God that I have here in front of me today is the same Word of God that we had before 2020 and everything that happened then. It's going to be the same Word of God that we have if the Lord tarries is coming 5, 10, 20 years down the road. God promises to preserve it, and it is eternally settled. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Again, it's a reference to the life that it gives you. You ever have days when you wake up and the cares are just so heavy upon you, and you just feel almost like you're dead? Get in the Word. Get in the Word. Let it enliven you. Listen to preaching. In some way, feed your heart and mind on the Word, and it will breathe life into you. Verse 98. This is one that we're going to need, okay, folks? Particularly. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Once again, when it comes to answering a fallen world that has no desire for anything of the Word of God, we need to be prepared to answer them. The Word of God will enable us, if we use it properly, to be wiser than those who are launching the onslaught against us in our faith. Thou hast made me wiser than mine enemies. It's not a possibility. It is a definite thing because we have the Word of God here. If it's in our hearts and minds, we are wiser than our enemies. 105, probably one of the most familiar verses in this entire chapter, in this entire psalm. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As a teenager, I had the opportunity a couple times to go cave exploring in the wonderful state of West Virginia. I thought you'd like that. Now, I'm not talking about exploring a cave like Luray Caverns where you have lights here and there and handrails and steps. I'm talking about a raw, empty cave that you walk down into, and it is, if you turn off all your lights, you can't see a hand in front of your face. So what they have to give us, of course, when you go down into it is, first of all, a helmet so you don't bang your head up on the ceiling sometimes. But they also give you little headlamps to help you as you go through the cave. Now, it took very little time to get, when you get down there in the pitch darkness of the cave, and that beam from that headlight is only going one direction, you learn pretty quickly, I need to point this thing at my feet. Because in these raw caves out there, there is this stuff called breakdown. Chunks of rock that have fallen out of the ceiling and are just can be anywhere on the floor. There can be mud, loose rock, anything. And you learn the importance of having that lamp. It's your only source of light that you are carrying. But you point it at your feet. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word my is repeated in this verse. My feet and my path. Far too often, I think, we as believers get to the point where, okay, I've arrived. So all of my knowledge of the Word of God, they're not walking right with God. Look at him and her. Look at the sin she's in. And we're pointing the light at everybody else's feet. But God says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. I guarantee you in that cave, if any one of us had spent the time, let me see where your feet are going. Let me shine the light on your feet over here. We'd have been in serious trouble. We had to keep the light on our feet because every single step needs that illumination. And folks, it is the same way in your life and my life when it comes to the Word of God. Our feet, our path. Don't get the mindset that, I've arrived and I'm secure. And I can point the Word of God at everybody else's feet except my own because, if any man think he stand, let him take heed lest he fall. Verse 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Two things here David says. Lord, your word to me is a heritage. Passed down from my parents, my grandparents, down to me, and now I wish to pass it on to my children as well. It is a heritage. Folks, it doesn't matter in eternity how much you leave behind for your kids, your grandkids, but if you have left behind them, behind yourself when you left, a love for this, that will be worth more than any physical thing or monetary amount that you can leave them. Because this is what is going to matter. This is what's going to keep them from sin and everything else we're looking at here. And he says, they are the rejoicing of my heart. People are looking for fulfillment everywhere else. Does this satisfy? Does that satisfy? Does this make me happy? The Word of God is the rejoicing of our heart. So why don't we treat it as such? This is the value of the Word of God. Verse 120. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. This is a good thing here, folks. The Word of God is the source of a healthy fear and reverence of God. We need that in our churches today. We need that in our families. We need it in our society. But the Word of God is what gives us that healthy fear and reverence of God. Moving on to verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Folks, I tell people this oftentimes. The Bible is not a science book, but where it speaks about science, it is correct. The Bible is not written to be a history book, but where it speaks on history, it is correct. The Bible is not meant to be a book on sociology, but where it speaks on sociology, it is correct. The Bible is not meant to be a manual for the family, but where it speaks on family issues, it is correct. The Bible is not meant to be a book on finances and economics, but where it speaks on financial and economic matters, it is correct. And so on and so forth. All thy precepts concerning all things to be right. 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The word wonderful here being miraculous, marvelous. We have in our hands the only piece of literature that was given in a miraculous way. Other religions claim miraculous giving of these, giving of their sacred writings, but we have the Word of God, the words of God that He wants us to have that were given by Him so that we can know they are indeed miraculous. They have life-changing capabilities if we live by them. Verse number 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. As far back as the Bible goes, and as far ahead as the Bible goes, in past and present, it endures forever. There are numerous groups who are challenging the beginning of the Bible, the book of Genesis. They say, oh, science has proven nothing in favor of evolution and secular humanistic explanations for the origin of the world. Thy word is true from the beginning, from Genesis 1:1, it is accurate. Finally, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace. God's Word gives great peace, and it says, those who love God's Word, God's law, nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall cause them to stumble. And they have that great peace. Now flip ahead with me all the way to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10. Speaking about justification, Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here, he describes the process of salvation and the impact that the Word of God has in a person's life regarding salvation. He says, writing here, he says, in verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is the producer of saving faith when it is heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, you may be sitting here tonight thinking, okay, we are the Wednesday night crowd. Don't we understand bibliology and all these things here? Perhaps. But don't fall into the mindset of, well, of all the people in the church, certainly we have arrived in our appreciation for the Word of God, or at least we're well above the Sunday morning only crowd. Folks, don't fall into that trap. If any man think he stand, let him take heed lest he fall. Folks, I submit to you this tonight. None of us have an appreciation for the Word of God as we ought. I trust everybody here tonight has some appreciation for it. But like I said back in the beginning, here in our country, in our lives thus far, we have known an unquestioned availability of the Word of God. Go to just about any bookstore and you will probably be able to find a Bible. Search online and you'll come across just about every kind of Bible version and translation imaginable. Ready availability of anything leads to a lack of appreciation for that thing. But it hasn't always been that way. Back in the early 1500s, actually the 1400s, building up to the 1500s, the Church of Rome had decreed the death penalty for anyone translating the Bible into the English language. A fellow by the name of William Tyndale, he placed a high value on the Word of God and compiled the first Greek to English translation of the New Testament. And he was martyred for his work in 1536. He placed a high value on the Word of God. In the early years of the Soviet Union, before Glasnost, Christians lived in fear of the KGB. And many slid into a hollow form of Christianity within the registered churches of the Soviet Union. But some chose to remain unregistered, and some even found ways to print the Bible secretly, despite the KGB, because they placed a high value on the Word of God. As the years of the Soviet Union dragged on, a fellow by the name, we call him Brother Andrew, also known as God's Smuggler, risked his life smuggling Bibles through heavily guarded checkpoints going into Soviet bloc countries, because he placed a high value on the Word of God. July 1st, 1899, a group of businessmen who came to be known as the Gideons, their organization was founded. And in 1908, they began distribution of Bibles in hotels. Their work has continued for over a century now, because men and women place a high value on the Word of God and they want to get it out to people. In the 1960s, a vision was begun in Milford, Ohio, to print Bibles to help preserve the Word of God, and Barren Precious Seed was founded because of the high value placed on the Word of God. And Brother Chad Robinson here, he'll be the one coming to see us this weekend, bringing the equipment for our Sea Line project. You get to meet him if you come. But in all this here, I ask you, what value do you place on the Word of God? We have a missions trip coming up to Mexico. The sole purpose is to assemble copies of the Word of God and distribute them in the city of Juarez, Mexico. Do you value the Word of God enough to go or to help someone else go? We have a seed line project this weekend. Do you value the Word of God enough to participate and give of your time and efforts to help us assemble 15,000 copies of John and Romans for people who hunger for the Word of God? Do you have enough value in the Word of God that you read it every day? Do you place enough value in the Word of God that you live it every day? Do you place enough value in the Word of God that you communicate it every opportunity that you get? Turn lastly to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. And we'll close with this. Revelation chapter 3. Speaking to the church of Philadelphia, we see a tremendous promise, a tremendous encouragement for those who do not deny the Word of God. Revelation 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, God's word. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. A church that keeps the Word, that does not deny the Word, the Lord says, I have placed before thee an open door. Nobody can shut it. You have kept my Word. You have not denied my name. I will open doors for you as you move forward in your service to me. God has done that for us, and I believe He will continue to do that as we seek to adhere to His Word. The words of a song, I don't know the author of this song, but every time I hear this song sung, it just really ministers to my heart. The song is called The Word of God. The Word of God will last forever. The truth upon its pages always will remain. The Word of God will never fail you. Its timelessness is sure, and it always will endure. The Word of God is a light unto my path. Though the strongest men will fall, God's Word will last. Though nations rise and fall, God's Word outlives them all. It will stand the test of time, for its author is divine. I will proudly call it mine, the Word of God. Satan tries to stamp it out and to change it all about. But like a mighty fortress, it stands the battle's rage. The laws of earth may crumble and change with fallen man, but with each change, God's Word remains while kingdoms fade away. The Word of God is a light unto my path. Though the strongest men will fall, God's Word will last. Though nations rise and fall, God's Word outlives them all. It will stand the test of time, for its author is divine. I will proudly call it mine, the Word of God. Let's stand for prayer. Father, how grateful we are, how humbled and sobered we are to realize that Your Word is indeed settled forever in heaven. We have looked at this idea of the value of the Word of God from a couple of different perspectives tonight. But Lord, whatever the need is, whatever the conviction that needs to come tonight, as we have said, none of us, I believe, have the full appreciation for the Word of God that we ought to have. But as we sang earlier, set my soul afire, Lord, for Thy holy Word. Let us not only apply the benefits that we looked at in Psalm 119, the encouragement, the peace, the wisdom, the understanding, but may we also have a desire to see the continuation, the distribution of Your Word. As these great heroes of the faith have done in the past, risking life, some losing their life for it, to see the Word of God perpetuated and carried on and distributed to those who hunger for it. May we catch that vision as well and be light bearers, the Gideons, bearing precious seed, Brother Andrew, all the way back through William Tyndale and countless other saints who have placed a high priority on Your Word. May we, in these dark, troublesome, perilous times, carry that torch forward. Because Your Word is indeed, as the psalmist said, our heritage and the rejoicing of our heart. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.